It's almost ready. We're almost.
I'm just trying to make sure.
I mean, it just doesn't feel like it's. We have to take our daughter back to school.
Board Member Pearson. Come grab a chair, please.
Check two.
You want them all green?
Yeah, might as well.
Okay.
Lots of different places.
You need to sit up here.
There's a lot of names.
Sharon.
Yes.
You need to sit on one of these.
Yeah.
No.
There's a space for up here.
On the side there.
Mr. Casey, who's the new principal at Landon.
You can bring him up here.
Okay, and Officer Jackson, who is really the expert on traffic.
Maybe. Yeah.
Put them there.
Yeah, put them there. Sherry?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you sit over there?
Okay, yes, sir.
And,
both of you.
You're moving on up. Hey, girl, how are you? Where does she want to go? Where is she, like?
Moving on up.
Hey, moving on up.
Yeah. How you doing, sir?
How you doing?
Officer Carlucci. Officer, nice to meet you. Good to see you. Thank you both for being here.
No problem.
Appreciate it. I want to get started as close as we can to... Hey, Paul. Good. How are you, man?
Good.
How's the wife doing?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
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 She's a good girl.
Every citizen's ever sent you always
have. Yeah. Well, you know, you and I both married our way up in life.
Exactly right.
Actually, that wasn't for you, but it just happened to be. I did this and my ring said it. She should be here. I think Leanna's going to be here.
Yeah, it's my understanding.
Yeah, well, what?
And no.
12:59, so I guess we're got it. We can give a few minutes wiggle room. I was thinking it was after one.
Did you sign in when you came in?
I did not.
I saw it happen. I'm not a good just being a
citizen. Councilman?
Want us to sign in?
Oh.
Oh, you can. That's fine. Or I can just add things later.
I'd have to be, or someone would have.
He's been engaged as well. So, trailer's on our way down.
Okay, good.
I'm going to run and grab Eric because the public comment mic is not working. I want to make sure it's working by the time we get to that
mic. Okay,
I'll be right back.
Yeah. It was a big class.
He likes to talk kind of maybe behind my back. Yeah. I know more than anybody thinks I know about it. And I know, but the guy that was there, he wants to do something with it, he's going to have to. You know. Not sure where he.
Did she say that
it was there? Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
Have you?
A young guy. Hello, council member.
Hey.
How you doing? Grab a chair here or there, wherever you want. Okay.
All right.
You and I think we're on the same track with that. We may have different John? John Pappas?
Yes, sir.
John Pappas, the public works engineer?
Identified. That's me.
One time years ago, I turned the darn thing off.
No, once they're on, I don't know how you turn it off.
Anyway, so one time, my wife and I and Joseph, my youngest son, who's kind of the sport model of the two that I have, we walked into. Yeah, back. Steakhouse there near Mandarin.
Yeah.
And Tommy was in there. And my son, and Tommy at that point, wasn't even on the school board at that point. You know, but Joseph, being the comedian he is, he walked up and he said, Tommy? Tommy Missouri? Former mayor of Jackson? I just started on this. Tommy acted like he didn't like it, but he did. What's that? Oh, Panera, yeah, that was, yeah, he'd hold court in Panera.
Yeah. Because every time I in there,
I'd
hear, hey, come here.
Yeah.
Hey.
We used to, there was a time when he wasn't in office, I wasn't in office. We were both kind of what we call in the wilderness. We were kind of in the wilderness, what we called it. And so we used to go to Jenkins Barbecue all the time there on Emerson and St. Augustine Road. Emerson and St. Augustine Road, Jenkins Barbecue.
Yeah.
Oh, we went there probably once a week.
Maybe
twice a week. And their chicken,
bang and goat.
Tommy would eat the ribs. I'm always trying to watch what I eat. It doesn't matter. Trying to. He went to Cotton's, and he also, back when there were, I think there is still one pig barbecue left. He used to like pig barbecue.
It's
going to
be a while. Somebody comes up there, right?
Cotton's was. Oh, yeah, he would.
We should be ready with all the lights.
Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to get started. And what I'd like to do is go around the room and we'll start back here and just work our way up and then around here and introduce everybody. And this is the meeting that we're having on Land and Middle School Traffic Study. And the first order of business is welcome. So welcome. Glad you're here. And why don't we start right back here and just go around.
My name is Lee Durbin. I'm a traffic studies engineer in the traffic engineering division.
Great.
Debbie Pataki, ECA to Councilman Comfort.
Okay.
Sherry Weber, ECA to Courage.
Okay.
Jennifer Sheffield.
Shane Sheffield.
Okay.
Paige Johnston, Office of General Counsel.
John Pathis, Public Works.
I'm Paul Soares, Assistant Superintendent for Operations for the school district.
I'm Chris Ledoux. I'm the city traffic engineer.
Leanna Cumber, District 5.
And I'm Matt Carlucci, at large, 4.
I'm Cindy Pearson, school board, District 3.
Dennis Jackson, school resource officer, Atlanta.
I'm Ryan Casey. I'm the principal at Julia Landon.
Great. Heard a lot of great things about you, Mr. Casey.
Thank you.
And I'll have some grand youngins coming up that way in a few years, in stages. Good luck.
Thank you.
My council aide, Sherry Weber, is in the back here. I'm going to ask her if she will come up there in case she needs to help keep me on track with something. But I think what we're doing, unless, school board member Pearson or my colleague, council member Cumber, if y'all have anything you want to start out with first, y'all would certainly want to, give you some time to say a few things, and then we'll go into the updates. So
we can get right in.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ready? Okay. So traffic engineering, I think that would be Mr. Chris Ledoux.
Okay.
And thank you for being here.
Okay. Thank you, Council Member Carlucci. I am going to talk about the Lanham Middle School traffic improvements. There's a 3-page handout. It's the one with the photographs on it, so I'm going to be basically running through that. And this is what we have done so far as the results of previous meetings that we've had and some of the traffic studies we've conducted. We reestablished the crosswalk on Minerva Avenue. Half of it was removed because of some utility work and just never put back. So we went ahead and put it back. And we also installed static signs. Whenever we say static signs, they're just signs, plain signs. They don't have any flashing lights on them. So we upgraded that with the signs and the pavement markings. The second item are no parking signs on our Arcadia Place. And the standard is for this 30-mile-per-hour section is you put no parking 20 feet from a crosswalk, and that's so that pedestrians can see approaching vehicles and vehicles can see the pedestrians. And that's at the crosswalk from the Lannan Middle School track. So we have no parking signs, crosswalk signs, the crossing pavement markings, and there's a ADA sidewalk connection that's also installed up to the fence line. And after that, the school board will take over and build a sidewalk connecting the rest of the way to the school.
Excuse me, but has all this been done since we met last time?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then the Sheffields, I want to make sure that if y'all have a question or something along the line as we go through, please, you know, just let me know, because it was your son who thankfully wasn't hurt, but brought us to this meeting here today. And so we got to keep our youngins safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Councilman, could I add one thing to Chris? Is if you go back to Minerva, he also added some no parking signs. I think there was a lot of discussion about cars parking right up to it. You couldn't see people coming across.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that creates a buffer on either side of the crosswalk at both of the locations. I think
mm-hmm.
that's
important as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. That will help because it's hard to see around those. Okay.
Okay. And number three, we lowered the speed limit, the regulatory speed limit on Thacker, Minerva, and Arcadia to 20 miles per hour. We installed the speed limit signs throughout the neighborhood. We added caution signs as you enter the school block, the school property, a diamond warning sign with the word school on it. Number four, on Atlantic Boulevard, we installed RRFBs, rapid rectangular flashing beacons, and these are more active crossings that have the yellow flashing lights. So they are up and they're in working condition. We're still making some adjustments out there in the field. We have some tree trimming and additional flashers that need to be put in, so it's not 100% quite yet.
Where are they at on Atlantic?
They are at the intersections of Mango and also Arcadia.
Okay.
So the corner of the park and Mango is, I guess, it would be the eastern corner next to the Publix.
Yeah, the bank, right?
Yes, at the bank, the Wells Fargo Bank. So those are up. They're operational, but we do have a few minor adjustments to make out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then number five, we were asked to provide a cost estimate for speed humps on Minerva and Arcadia. And if you look at the picture there, if speed humps were to go in on these roads, that would be the approximate spacing where the red bars are on Minerva and Arcadia. The speed humps in total would cost $21,600. And if RRFB flashers were to be installed at Minerva and Arcadia crossings, they would cost $29,000.
What does RRFB stand for?
It stands for Rapid Rectangular Flashing Beacon. And
flashing light.
Exactly. A flashing yellow light. And number six, the crosswalk at Thacker Avenue. And, we believe that we were referring to the crossing across Atlantic Boulevard. Mango and Thacker are offset a little bit, and we installed the crosswalk at Mango. There will not be, we're not contemplating a crossing across Atlantic at Thacker. But it was installed at Mango Place, and the cost for that one was $36,648, and that's already been done. But that was the actual cost. I would say at this point in time, with the signing and the pavement marking that we have installed around Lannan Middle School, I do not recommend speed humps on Minerva and Arcadia. I do not recommend RRFBs, flashers, at the crosswalks on Minerva and at Arcadia going to the track. My understanding is they're used for internal circulation of pedestrians during the school day, and there are teachers basically watching the children. And I believe that the humps are not needed because the speeds are already relatively low. We conducted speed studies and found that the high end of normal, what we call the 85th percentile speed, is about 26 miles per hour. And this is back when it was posted at 30 miles per hour. So I don't recommend the speed humps. I don't recommend the RRFB flashers at this time. And that concludes my report. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to take questions.
Let's do this. Let's go to the updates by the Duval schools, and then after that, any of the council members or the school board member here for the area would like to speak. And then we'll have questions and kind of just have some discussion time, but let's go to the next school system updates if we can.
Sure. Yeah, had a chance to go over the area and see the work and improvements, which look great. As Mr. Ledoux mentioned, with that ramp, we need to do the concrete walkway all the way back to the parking lot, which is essentially an American Disabilities Act requirement, so that someone that's not ambulatory that needs assistance in a wheelchair or whatever, we'll have a paved path all the way to that ramp. So we're committed to do that, and expect that we will get that work done probably over the next couple months. I can't say we'll be done by opening, but sometime shortly thereafter we should be able to finish that.
Finish what now, sorry?
The concrete sidewalk from the new ramp at the crosswalk back to the paved parking lot. We need to have a continuous paved path all the way back to the school.
I got you.
For purposes of ADA.
Yes, sir. Okay.
That. So we're committed to do that. Other than that, that's really all I have as far as updates. I don't know if Ms. Pearson probably has some additional updates. I know she's read some of her emails earlier.
Okay.
I do, actually. I do have a question. First of all, thank you for going down this inventory. I think it's going to make a big difference, and I appreciate it. I've driven through that, run through it. It's, you know, my neighborhood, so I've been watching the progress, and thank you. The one thing that was on my list that I don't see addressed, and this is like it could be achieved by going to Ace Hardware. It's pretty simple. But the no parking signs on the double gate that leads to the track, the athletic director, and maybe that's something we need to do. But there's a double gate that leads to the track, and it's how maintenance gets in to cut the grass. But it's also, I think, more importantly, when talking about safety, is how an ambulance would get in if a student needed emergency services during PE or at a game. Mm-hmm. And from time, without the no parking signs being on that double gate, people do park in front of them. Mm. So I don't know if that's our purchase and installation or your purchase and installation, but I think it would be good to clarify whose responsibility. And let's get that done before school starts.
Okay, we could look into that.
Can I add? I mean, I do know.
Shane, I'll need you to go up and use the microphone, brother.
Yep.
I think it's on. I think Sherry has it on.
I do, and, you know, to add on to that, I do that. You know, there was an incident, my understanding, a couple of years ago where there was an event in the track or during school. A child was injured. They could not get the ambulance in there to the child. So I know there is a, you know, documented case of that being an issue. You know, along the lines of that parking on, I guess it's Thacker, right?
Arcadia.
Thanks. you know, there's every day there's like 12 cars from a doctor's office that parks on the right of way on both sides. And that it bothers me on a couple levels. One, you know, school safety, school, all the issues like we hear about in the news all the time. And I do know in Florida with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act, there has to be reviews periodically of kind of how safety is assessed in conjunction with the school board, the sheriff's department. I'm just a sales guy, so I'm not a lawyer or a school safety expert or anything else. But I brought these pictures, y'all can circulate around, but you know, there's a couple of concerns. One, there's a huge, you know, we're having, y'all can address this, but my understanding is the city is granted for the tenant in that building to park on that right of way, which one, I would think, causes a visibility issue from a safety standpoint. It's going to be destroying right of way from a taxpayer standpoint, which is going to lead to additional maintenance issues. So I would love to hear that addressed, because I know that's a concern of some staff at school. And as a taxpayer, I get frustrated when I see us not taking parking into account when we're permitting businesses in the San Marco area. I know there's issues like where the Tremet is a few years ago that they create a lot of issues. So anyway, that's an overall gripe as a taxpayer. Anyway, I'll let y'all address that.
So if I could just ask Mr. Pappas on public right-of-way, could you just speak to public right-of-way?
I'd like to know more about an agreement or whatever you've heard, because I'm not sure of anywhere we've authorized specific use for the city right-of-way.
I don't either.
Okay.
Except my understanding is that it's been a concern of some of the staff at the school, they've gone to talk to the employees of the doctor's office that have the people to park in there. They said they have permission to park there.
This is on Arcadia? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, so they park like six of them on both sides. They usually park about halfway up the road every day, just the employees of that doctor's office. So,
So if Mr. Pappas, you can look at the photos. It looks like it's public right-of-way.
It is.
And so there's no restriction on parking on public right-of-way?
That doesn't seem to be. I mean, I've read the statutes as much as I can. And
yeah.
It's up to the enforcement of the city. Once again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a traffic engineer. I'm not any of that. But I don't understand why we are having a private business that doesn't have enough parking in the parking lot to park on the right-of-way and destroy the right-of-way, which is going to create beyond a safety issue, but a city maintenance issue on that right-of-way.
Great, thanks. Mr. Pappas, is that just, it appears that it's just public right-of-way that anyone in the public could park on?
Yeah.
Or am I looking at that wrong?
There wouldn't be a restriction that I'm aware of. That's why I'm going to dig into a little bit more on this, but public right-of-way, we don't restrict who and who can't.
It does?
It does not. We do not.
Yeah.
It's all public.
It's all public.
But I'd like to know more about that as well.
I have an item for new business.
Okay, let me just ask one question. So, first of all, we have another couple in the back. I don't know if they're parents that have children at Landon or...
No, I'm a student, so I'm just observing.
Okay, all right. Well, nice to have you here. What's
Welcome.
Your name? Nina, okay. Where are you a student at?
UNF. I'm a nursing student there.
Oh, boy. Congratulations. They got a great nursing school there.
Yes.
Who's your friend there to the right?
This is my husband, Alex.
Hey, Alex. How you doing? What are you, you in school? Or are you? People, my son couldn't figure out, when people said, what do you do? He couldn't figure out what to say. He says, I'm Lauren's husband. That's what he said. you had a new issue, but what, just before we get to that, if we were to put no parking signs up on that right-of-way, where would those cars wind up, A, do you think?
Well, if they park there with the no parking signs, they'd be ticketed, but I don't know where they would end up. if they weren't parking.
That's
there.
Always kind of the where they you know where they wind up. are those a threat or an impediment to the safety there with those cars being parked on that right away?
People who assess school safety, I don't.
Yeah. What?
Well, basically, when the we have to cross two streets to get to the field for PE.
Yes.
Minerva and Acadia. And when the kids are going back and forth from outside to inside to get water, use the bathroom, or whatever, those vehicles block the view of the oncoming traffic.
Uh-huh.
And that's the issue that it causes. And we've been back and forth with it for about 3 years now. And we don't seem to be able to get anything done.
And do you know where those cars, where the people are going to? Is it
they're going to a doctor's office, and it's employees and patients. Mm-hmm. It's not just the employees. It's patients also.
Where's the doctor's office at?
It's at the corner of Atlantic. And I think that's Minerva.
Arcadia. It's across from Robert Southbank Pharmacy, which is another issue because that's now up for sale or lease. And so depending on what goes in there, there might not be enough parking.
You got spillover.
Yeah.
Has it always been there like that or was it not?
No, it was redeveloped recently.
Yeah. Okay.
And Vestcor's going in next door to it.
Okay.
But I talked to someone from Vestcor who said they have enough parking for their employees.
Okay. So you had...
I do. I have a new issue.
Okay.
I don't know if y'all have received any constituent concerns about this, but I certainly have, is that starting with the corner of Hendricks and Atlantic, there are some new lines on the road where there used to be two lanes if you were going to turn right onto Atlantic. There were two lanes. Now there's a cross hatch for maybe... the equivalent of a couple of parking spaces, and then where the new parallel parking spaces start next to the Publix's affiliated businesses, it opens back up into you get the right lane back. So that's one that I think people are wondering exactly, like, does that mean that I can only turn into that one lane, and what if traffic backs up from Landon for the car lane, and it's already an issue in the mornings at that, but what, or do I just, like, does that mean look for pedestrians trying to cross, but I drive through these lines anyway? I think it's strange. In the years that I've been driving, I haven't seen anything quite like that, and I'm not sure that I know what to do.
And where's that area again?
Hendricks going north, turn right onto Atlantic, so going east on Atlantic. And whereas there used to be two lanes there, now there's one that has diagonal white lines in it and kind of an odd shape, and that only lasts for a bit, and then you get that right lane back. So that's one. But actually, more concerning is if you're on Atlantic heading west. So I'm going to do this. If you're in Atlantic heading west. Around Arcadia, so you have two lanes of traffic in parallel spots. Currently, in the morning and in the afternoon, in the 7 years that I was driving kids to school, parents would line up in those parallel spots as much as possible so as not to block through traffic. Now the left lane that used to be a through lane is a turn lane, and then on the other side of the intersection is yellow lines. To me, it looks like we're losing a lane of through traffic. We have more businesses going in on those storefronts, and when I've been there this summer, I've seen quite a bit of parallel of car, quite a few cars parked in the middle of the day in those parallel spots. My concern is that if parents can't pull over into the parallel spots and they're in the one through lane we have, what are we going to do? Because then you're going to have a line of parents lined up waiting for school to get out, blocking the only through lane on Atlantic Boulevard. So what I put in my email and asked is if it would be possible to, and I've seen this another place that I've lived, this happens on Constitution and Independence in D.C. every day. No parking from 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning, from 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon, which would guarantee, as much as you can guarantee that people follow rules, that those parallel spots will be open for parents to line up in and hopefully not block the one lane of through traffic going from, you know, going west on Atlantic. And it's not just a concern for for Landon parents. I've had Episcopal parents, Bowles parents, BK parents, because that's the way, if you live in San Marco or Riverside, that's the way a lot of people go and come back dropping kids off to school. So it's not just a public school issue, it's also a private school parent issue. And I put in my email, I'm concerned that, and that doesn't even get into the commuters coming from Mandarin who are going straight, you know, straight up Hendricks to get across the river or to the school board. But I'm concerned that it's going to push traffic in the morning and in the afternoon through the neighborhoods, which I don't think the residents want. Perhaps the ones who live on Alexandria Place really don't want it, or the ones don't want it.
It's Marco and Belote, and I can tell you, it's just like anything. You put a bottleneck up here, more people are going to go, and they're going to go down Marco, and they're going to go down Belote. And they've been doing that my whole life. You know,
this has been with my issue.
So yes,
and my issue for years.
Right, and I'm aware. We've talked about it. So again, I'm not a traffic engineer, but just as someone who drives a car, that's what it looks like to me, and that's what several constituents have raised as concerns. My understanding is that the Publix is going to open up the end of July. So there will be two-ish weeks of Publix traffic, and then school starts. And I can tell you, and this is why I wanted Officer Jackson to be here, when school starts at Landon the first 2 weeks, the traffic is incredible.
It is.
It's horrible. And that's without a train. If you throw a train into it, it's even worse. But I think what's going to happen is parents already drop kids off where they're not supposed to, creating crossing hazards and safety hazards. So you're going to have a lot more creative dropping of students because nobody has time for all that mess in the morning. Once families figure out their carpool situation or their bus situation, that does die down some. But then another concern is, you know, throw a train into it. But then ultimately from an education point of view is lost class time. Because I have been on campus and heard the announcement, please hold tardies for the next 10 minutes. There, you know, there was a wreck on 95, there was a train, there was whatever. And I don't think we want students on a routine basis missing the first 10 to 15 minutes of first period, which could very well be a core subject, because of traffic issues. I would much rather be proactive and address it on the front end than have to figure out a month from now how to deal with it.
I'd be happy to share my thoughts on it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. first of all, the Publix that's going in, our office reviewed that plan before they came in. That northbound to eastbound right turn, I believe that's a temporary situation. That's part of the maintenance of traffic while they finish the construction of the Publix. Okay, concerning the westbound left turn, and we had a situation. When we were reviewing the traffic flow of the new Publix, we knew that there was going to be a high volume of westbound cars that turn left into Mango, into the Publix. That's their direct line for a lot of customers. That volume is going to be so heavy that if you get into that left turn lane and you're expecting to turn left a block later at Hendricks, there might be confusion in the traffic stream. You got your turn signal on, and then all of a sudden you're expecting that car in front of you to continue on another 100 feet or 200 feet or whatever to Hendricks, and they don't. They slam on the brakes at Mango. We know that situation is going to happen. So that creates a rear-end crash problem. Typically, when you have a high-volume left turn, you don't let them do it out of a through lane, okay, where you can go both left or through. if it's a low volume, it's not a problem. But if you have a high volume doing that, that's going to create a safety problem. So that's why with paint, we painted out, we call it a bulb out, and we put in yellow diagonal markings to designate that that is a no drive area. And we want it to be...
Excuse me, but where's that particular area at?
That is just to the west of Mango in the westbound left turn lane.
Okay.
And so basically what we want drivers to do is we want them to stay in the through lane and the right-hand lane as they go past Mango and then weave over into the left turn lane at Hendrix. Now, I know some people will drive right over that yellow paint, and that really won't cause that much trouble, but I want them to be aware of it. I want them to be aware that there is the possible conflict with the left turners at Mango and the left turners at Hendrix. Mm-hmm. So that's why that was done.
Okay.
And that's based on traffic projections and how we think the traffic is going to flow in and out of the Publix. It's different. It's changed. But really, you only have one through lane westbound going into the San Marcos Square. Mm-hmm. So there's a left turn only. So we're really not losing that through. But we are impeding the flow slightly of the left turners that used to get into the left turn lane early, and now they have to get into the left turn lane a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And that's the only change.
Did you understand what I'm saying, though, about cars backing up for drop-off and pick-up in the morning? Have you ever experienced that?
I have seen that.
It can be backed up all the way past the railroad tracks and at the beginning of the school past the highway.
And I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear, so get ready. And that is that when we design the traffic flow, we usually design it for the peak hour of the day for that situation. Now, for school traffic, every school in town has that problem for about 20 minutes in the morning, and then it goes away. So that's just something
we have to live with in a lot of places. It was a problem, and it's going to be a bigger problem. Like, it was already a problem. Kids were already late for school. Cars were already backed up. It was already a problem. I know that private school parents drop off and then they come back west because I wave to my neighbors while I'm sitting in line waiting. It's already a problem. This is going to make it a much worse problem.
Well, to your point, is there something we could look at? Because you're saying the parallel parking places along the north side of Atlantic, if that could be utilized for stacking, that removes them from that through lane.
And that's what
you were recommending.
And that's what I'm asking, because that's what people already do. But when I've been down this summer looking at lines and taking pictures, I've noticed that in the middle of, during the day in the summer, there are quite a few people parked in those parallel spaces, whereas in the past they haven't been.
So if I could just, I think the challenge is the trade-off is then they're going to park down the street. So the trade-off is that if you don't have people park on Atlantic, they're going to go down Minerva and Arcadia to park because that's all public right-of-way. So those, you're not reducing the number of people who are going to park on Atlantic or need to park there in the morning, but if you restrict it, we could, but then the most logical place to park would be to take a right into where you don't want people parking. So we can't restrict the parking in all of the public right-of-way. That's the challenge is looking at it.
I don't think the morning is as big an issue as the afternoon is, but what I'm trying to communicate is that I foresee when school starts, you're going to end up with Atlantic Boulevard with one through lane not going anywhere because it's going to be full of parents waiting in line to either drop their kids off or pick their kids up from school. And then then you're going to have people shooting off to the left, going through neighborhoods or doing whatever they do.
So I think and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, so just looking at it, because it's a half a block that we're looking at, And I think Chris's point is if you look at it on the Google map, you're looking at half a block where there's a new left turn before you get to Thacker. And so because there's no physical barrier, there's no, there's, you can still go through that. The only time it would back up is if you had a extended backup trying to turn left onto Mango, but it's unlikely to happen both at the same time. So I think maybe waiting to see, because it, since it's just that half a block and since the city didn't put any physical barrier, so you can still, as everyone knows, you can still drive right over, people do it all the time, all over the yellow, that you're going to, the backup may not exist. Because it's not like you have a physical bollard in front of you where you can't. There's nothing physically stopping you from using that passing lane.
Okay, it's been a while since I've taken the driver's test, but I did just go through this with a 14-year-old who's about to take hers. I thought on terms of, like, lines, white means you can cross, yellow means you cannot. So it's a yellow, those are yellow lines.
Well, some
I thought that meant
technically not supposed to go over it.
Right.
Saying,
correct, but I'm saying go. That okay. It's. So, I'm saying it's probably going to happen, especially if it's since it's a half a block. Well, and it's half a block, so I think that I just think the challenge and you know whatever when you know
are you
with
concerned
the
with the turn lane.
She's concerned
with the left.
I'm concerned with only having one through lane. And if people are parked in those parallel spots, then there's nowhere for Landon parents to queue up. And they'll be in the one through lane queued up from 235, 240, you know, somewhere in there because they have the whole, they have all of Thacker to line up. Thacker? They have all of Thacker to line up on. And then it turns onto Atlantic. And I know if I leave my office too late from the school board, it's way back there.
May I ask a question? I'm sorry, I don't normally interrupt. So has anybody, I don't think that's working, has anybody talked to Aspire Church San Marco about a partnership using that merchant lot behind San Marco Square and then finding a way to let commuter parents bring children there, loading them onto some kind of a shuttle, and then safely getting them to Landon? It would reduce the number of commuter cars that are sitting there on Atlantic. And I know that the church is always open to talking about partnerships like that. During those times in the morning drop-off and the afternoon drop-off when the volume is highest, those are not peak times for the merchants or the church. So okay. I feel like they could possibly accommodate a large number of cars at a time. It's just something to think about, and if that's something that this group is interested in, I could certainly get you in touch with the right people.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
I so appreciate Aspire and how generous they are with their parking. We could look at that. Already there is one lot off of Thacker that's a school lot, and actually that's where I have always parked and just let my daughter come to me. But then also a number of parents will park on Thacker and in the library lot and have their students walk to them. There is crossing coming from the school, and then there's a light going over across from Atlantic over across Hendricks. Mm-hmm. So there really wouldn't need to be a shuttle. There's a big group of kids that already crosses, and then they go to Starbucks or wherever they go after school. I mean, that could be another solution, is it's kind of like a kiss and ride or a cell phone waiting lot kind of thing like you have at the airport in that lot behind. That's certainly something that we could talk about and is a very generous offer. Thank you.
I've lived in this area within what used to be maybe three baseball throws, now probably about seven, but... my whole life, and in as well as I know those streets and everywhere y'all are talking about, I'm having a real hard time visualizing everything that everybody's talking about. And I wish we had Leanna's got, I mean, she's got the idea right there on her phone, if we had maybe a computer or something that you could, you know, see the big area, because I'll go right over there today.
I sent pictures in my first email.
I mean, and I appreciate the pictures that have been provided. That's been a good help. But when we're talking about the yellow lines, mm-hmm. you know what? I hadn't noticed them. I should, but I hadn't noticed them because I go the other way to work. And then mm-hmm. by the time I head down to City Hall, you know, it's a pretty clear shot. So I feel like we're kind of got a lot of different moving targets in trying to wrap our arms around them. But I'm not real clear on how we do it because I can't visualize it. Mr. Casey, you're the principal. You might have a thing or two to say about these issues.
Well, this is really new to me. And I will thank our support member for her pictures. Gave me a chance to really visualize what it's going to look like based on her experience. And mm-hmm. I talked to our officer. And I think the biggest concern for anybody that's been a parent that's dropped off is just the kids want to get dropped off in front of the school. That's what we want them to be dropped off, safest place. So they wait one at a time, and there's, you know, 500, 400 people trying to make that.
There's a lot of people
and
there.
400 and cars go a long way back.
And it's not just the beginning of school at Landon. I've noticed that it goes on beyond just the beginning of school.
Right.
And it's a neighborhood school,
it
right?
It's not. It's a magnet.
It's a magnet. But there are neighborhoods, kids that go there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there'll be some more neighborhood kids going there before too long. And so Mr. Sheffield and Ms. Sheffield, they have a son that rides a bike, you know, and that's part of the joys of going to school when your kid is get to ride my bike to school. But I'm telling you, that is such, you know, it's going to take a while for all of that to work its way out. And so I'd like to be a little proactive like what you're saying and see if, because when I hear yellow lines, you know, there's always a part of me that when I see yellow lines, I'm like, don't know whether I should go through them or not, you know. And some people will. But some people will be overcautious because they don't want, you know, they want to obey the law. And so the percentage of people that don't want to go through that is going to back up. And then the one person who goes through it, gives a little relief to the problem. But what the heck are the yellow lines doing there to begin with? That's what I don't understand.
It's to create a turn lane.
The yellow lines are the yellow lines aren't there to create the turn. The yellow lines are there as because you have two turn lanes one block away from each other. It's to when you have the turn lane to give people notice that there's another turn lane ahead, so that when you have your blinker on, that you don't put your blinker on a block ahead of time.
It says it's not a turn only right before the
yellow lines are not, you don't need the yellow lines for the turn. You could have the turn lane without the yellow lines. The yellow lines are there to tell you there's another turn, another left turn, another block away. So if you put your turn signal on ahead, it's basically trying to stop people from putting their turn signal on two blocks ahead of time because there's two left turn lane there.
Yeah, I assume since they're yellow lines, you don't.
So, Mr. Casey, on the just looking, has there been any discussion, and it may not work from a operational standpoint, and I don't know if they've ever done it and just got rid of it, but of having drop-off both on Minerva and Thacker, like splitting the grades, and so they're...
I think Officer Jack's probably...
Now, they won't be able to do that because you can't drop off... you can't have a car drop-off and a bus lane in the same
I see, so that, area. So that, got it.
So that is and the bus not going
to
work.
And you have to have that access because of the covered access.
And from a school got safety, it. You have
but are we concerned
limited.
About the, what is it, store hours that Publix going to be open when they?
7 to 9, 7 a.m.
Yeah, they're starting.
7 a.m.? That'll be a little bit of a problem.
I think it's going
to Officer Jackson, when I hear on and to the point of security on Atlantic for the kids, and our son does ride his bike, and there is a contingency. And last year, you graciously were out on Atlantic, I know, yourself in the middle of Atlantic there, helping these kids cross.
I'll be out there this year.
Thank you for doing that. In light of the fact there's a crosswalk over here, but it's down in Mango.
Mm-hmm.
is your plan, are you going to be out there again? Because it's going to be, the changes, while I know had to occur because of the public, there is a learning curve for all drivers now. And fortunately, on come 7:30 to 8:30, you've got your youngest drivers on the road, right? You've got a lot of parents, but you also have a lot of high schoolers getting themselves switched back, okay?
Yes.
So my concern is, does my son not ride his bike to school anymore because the traffic concern is extremely scary at that point?
But I think we can adjust to it once we see it. You know, we can make whatever adjustments need be.
Are you planning on being out there again?
Yes.
Like, even at the crosswalk?
Because you direct traffic and the
confusing.
Yes.
But you're going to be away at the crosswalk now, which is further down, not where...
It's at Mago. He's been at Mago.
I mean, if we have to shut that turn lane down and make the left turn at Atlantic for 15 minutes till school start in, then... We can get through that.
Yep. It's, you know, there is, I appreciate you bringing that up because I've been concerned about as I see that. And I also have a concern I've raised with Council Boyer for years and years and years is that the more they've done in San Marco, I don't need to get the microphone, but the more they've done in San Marco, when they change the traffic flows of San Marco, it backs traffic up more down Hendricks. And I live on Marco, which is a big wide road, and I've met with Councilwoman Humber. With Doug Skiles to talk about this, that you're going to push more and more people that like turn my street into a driveway in the morning and the evenings because it's going to be a mess at Hendricks and Atlantic, and it's going to push more people down below Marco and then down Pine Ridge to get safely out.
Because really, that's a cut through for three schools: Landon, Episcopal, and Kenny,
and Bowles Middle, and Cornerstone. If anyone goes to the new classical campus on next to Bowles Middle.
Okay. Bowles Middle, that's way up the other way.
You still have to go to it by Atlantic.
Okay. Well, but the people that are heading north on Hendricks, they would be taking that ride on Marco, then they've been doing that since the beginning of those roads. And Marco is a very wide road, so, you know, people...
It's going to get worse, I think.
Hmm?
I think it's going to get worse. It's like all these... things happen there in the public centers. I just think it's going to back traffic up more in the mornings and afternoons. And so you're like in the afternoons when people are dropping off, it's backed up and people want to go through, they want to cut through, and vice versa. So, you know, I know that a lot of these traffic studies, they don't take into account the neighborhood roads, they take into account the main thoroughfares. That's why I remember from 10 years ago with Councilwoman Boyer and Mr. John Robinson and all that, that, you know, when they did the traffic studies for the public, it didn't take into account the neighborhood roads around that. Is that correct how the traffic studies work? Like, you wouldn't have taken it down into Marketplace or below.
Well, the studies, they take into account the traffic that the new development generates. And this is based on averages, other publics around the state, around the country. And they will estimate the paths that those cars will travel. Okay, and most people, if you live in that area, you'll drive the neighborhood roads to there. If you're coming from further away, a mile away or so, then cutting through the neighborhoods in most cases won't be the path of least resistance. So most cars will travel like water flows. It takes on the path of least resistance. And that's the way the studies are done. So there is some traffic in the blocks immediately adjacent to the Publix, but they're not assuming that people are going to go down, say, Belote, and go around go a longer ways just to avoid a busier road.
Oh, they will.
Some may, but most traffic will take the path of least resistance. Now, what we try to make sure of is that there are no failures that are caused by that extra traffic. In other words, you don't have to wait through a traffic signal twice. And if you go up to a signal and you have to wait, we have to wait, and it'll take 3 minutes or so to get through the signal. But that's what we make sure of with those traffic studies.
Well, I think the unusual thing there, and just off topic, but and I do think it is on topic, is that you're dealing with Travis for not just Wayman, you're dealing with Episcopal and Bishop Kenny. And as you do these things, you are backing them up through multiple traffic lights. And you're retraining these commuters. They don't live within a mile there. They live 10 miles this way, 5 miles this way, whatever. And you're training them to take a different route every single day. And that's down my street, through Alexandria, down below. And that Publix opening is going to only exacerbate that. You know, I'm not a traffic engineer, but, you know,
but you live there, and you see what you see.
And I think the problem is really, like, back to the core of the matter is the safety, like, in my mind, okay? Mm-hmm. So I understand growth is great. We can't stop the Publix. It's there. It's going to open. But my concern is when I send my 13-year-old out down Marco Place on his bike with 10 buddies. He's not a sole rider, and there aren't a lot of them. And we don't have the tools in place at that corner to alleviate these alternate traffic flows. Going down, there is going to be a push down Alexandria, because to use your words, Cindy, it was happening before the Publix was there. This was a concern prior to the Publix. The Publix is going to exasperate it. It is what it is. We can't go backwards on it. We could move. But it's necessarily going to push traffic down Alexandria, where Councilman lives, down Marco, Shane and I live there, and down the next street, because it's an obvious cut through. It has always been that way. To the safety of school and getting to school, which is the point of why we're all here anyway, my kids, 5, 10, 25 other, they take off down what they feel are safe streets. Marco Place, Beloit, some of the ways where they can come into Officer Jackson. But what's happened is we've pushed traffic onto these side streets, and nothing has changed on the side street. So they can hit 60 going down Marco Place, come around Beloit so that they can catch Atlantic. So I'm just envisioning my child simply trying to get to school, because 6 months ago, I sent my son to school and got a phone call at noon that while he was on campus coming in from PE, he was hit by a car, because we're not putting the tools in place. So it's about safety. We can't go backwards. We can't change what's in the place. But it's incumbent upon us as adults to look around and say, my gosh, we are pushing traffic to other ways. My goodness, kids have the benefit of walking to school from our area and south up to Landon. And we're not putting any tools in place to keep them safe.
Okay. So
that's what I'm concerned about.
So in light of that, and just one quick thing, I know we have to wrap up. But Chris, would Marco then be something that you would consider talking to the neighborhood about doing speed humps if they wanted to go that route?
I'm sorry, on Marco? Excuse me, I'm trying to find here where Marco is.
Because that would be, if the goal is to slow the traffic down on Beloit and Marco, then the option would be to do what River Oaks did and do the speed humps. And we can certainly, you know, go down that route, but that would be your best option to slow, and it certainly wouldn't, you know, it's going to slow neighbors, certainly. And so that would be the way to, you know, if there's a concern about, you know, the speed with which people are going, that's the best way to lower the speed. And, you know, we've done that in several areas of the neighborhood where, you know, the speed signs weren't enough, that, you know, they really wanted the speed humps. And so we could certainly do that.
This issue had been sort of 15 years ago before I did. And when we heard about the Publix coming in, that there was actually a resident article written with me going out in my paper, like a small guy in my robe and car speeding. I still can't believe they wrote it like that. But Warrior like had several like town hall meetings with the residents. There was talk about like even like making Beloit one way. So there was a lot of discussion 2 years ago.
I remember that.
Do you remember?
I did.
And about maybe putting a stop sign like on Marco and John Robinson. you know, it said, well, a stop sign should be a traffic calming device. So I'm well-versed in trying to understand, like, all the things there. And, you know, there was concern we don't want to put speed humps because speed humps damage cars. And I said, well, damage speeding cars, you know. But then the residents, you know, to get the speed humps, we're going to have to get, like, 200 residents to say yes to do it. And then they've also got to pay for it. And good luck on that. And when that was it, it just died because it's an impossible task to get the traffic calming done.
Let me do something here. I don't mean to interrupt. Our school board member Pearson wants to make a couple of comments. I want to go back out to the public. I see we have two new participants here, and I don't know if y'all have anything that you'd like to say, and I want to give you that opportunity if you would like to. Okay. And before Councilmember Cumber leaves, though, I can finish up, but basically what I'm going to finish up with is we've made some good progress, and I appreciate what Public Works and the school system has done and so forth, but I still don't feel like we've got a real complete answer, and I don't like to have meetings unless they finish up with a real good complete answer, and I'm still trying to understand the flows that everybody's talking about and the yellow lines and why the heck do we have the yellow lines? Well, now I know a little bit about why we have yellow lines, but I'm for doing away with the darn things. But I'm not sure I am either. So I'm trying to figure out my own mind. So we're going to come back, and I'm going to lay out some suggestions that when we come back, you know, we will be ready to execute some ideas that make sense. And so we could put a bow on top of this box of problems we're trying to wrap up, okay? That's what I want to try to do. And so I'm going to let school board member, maybe councilman one day, after my son gets through, if he gets there. Anyway, that's another subject. Sorry, should have said that. Anyway.
Two questions.
Go right ahead.
One is for Mr. Ledoux. You said the hash marks, those white lines at Hendricks and Atlantic are temporary?
The northbound right turn lane that's been striped out, I believe, is temporary.
Will y'all paint over that one at some point?
The contractor working for the Publix is handling
okay,
that.
So
they
that
do
will,
that by permit.
We'll get that back someday.
Yes.
Okay. And then the second is just in the conversation. This is by no means, I'm pretty excited about the Publix. I think the tile work they have done on it is beautiful. Like, I think they're doing a lot, they've done a lot to make it really a pretty place that blends in with the neighborhood. I'm not even concerned about Publix traffic between 7:30 and 8:30 and 2:30 and 3:30 because I don't think those are peak times at Publix. What I'm concerned about is what's been put on the pavement for peak times, how it affects school peak times. And that's really what my concern is. I'm not concerned about Publix traffic interfering with school traffic. I'm concerned about what y'all have done to accommodate or make Publix traffic safer, making school traffic less safe. So I just wanted to clarify, this is not about Publix, really. It's about it's about lines on the road for me.
Well, it's got to be about both. We can't pit one against the other. It's got to be about the whole daggum picture. And I appreciate what you're saying about that. Our two new participants, would y'all like to speak? Do you have anything to offer? Do y'all have children at Landon?
I used to drive on it early in the morning, so I can understand where, you know, how you guys might say the traffic is really, really healthy. I'm heavy, I'm sorry. But I don't have a full understanding, but I'm trying to map it all out, but I can see how we're trying to work together because is it new Publix that's being built right there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that traffic
and some other ancillary.
Right. Okay, so I can see how that's clashing, and I would like to participate. I still drive around over there, and I do get
authority. If you'll give to my executive council assistant, Ms. Weber, your name, we'll make sure that when we have our, hopefully, our final wrap-up meeting where we put the bow on top, you'll be invited to come. Okay. And so what I would like to ask is if the district council person and the school board district person, do you have any idea on how we might come up with these concerns and solve them? I don't think a meeting on site is going to do much good because it's so hot. I mean, it's just too hot. I really wish we had a computer screen with Google Earth like what Ms. Cumber had on her phone so we could get a better idea. But I want to make sure that we have some good suggestions that make sense for the whole issue, be it Marco, Belote. We don't get that much on Alexandria. We get some. But it's Marco and Belote. But mostly I think the problem to me is right there going to Hendricks, Atlantic, that corridor, Landon's over here. This right here is messy, and I'm not sure where we are in putting that in order where people will be able to flow with their vehicles safely, watching out for children on bicycles and getting into the school and or getting into Publix, you know? And I just think that corner right now, to me, and this is no reflection on, I think it's a work in progress still, but to me it's confusing just listening to it. And I think we need to find a way to make it understandable and easily understood to the drivers. So whether they're going to Publix or whether they're going to Landon or Episcopal or wherever, that it makes sense. Yellow lines to me means maybe something different than it would to Ms. Pearson.
No, actually, we're on the same page with the okay. Yellow lines. Don't go there.
Ms. Cumber has a lot of experience in
watching people go over yellow lines.
Right. She does. You do a lot of work with transportation, and listen, I was a kid that had a old VW, and my whole answer to that Marco Place business was I would come down and I'd get on River Road and I'd cut through FEC Park because there weren't the Ballards there, and I would drive my VW all the way through FEC Park and hop over Marco down Broadmoor and then take a ride on the Avoca. That was it was a simpler time then. It was a simpler time. So, Mr. Ledoux, how do we make this happen, sir? And Mr. Casey and our officer, Jackson.
Well, I will say this. I don't know if I have a specific answer, so I'll give you some generalities. Some thoughts I had while I was listening to this conversation. I really appreciate the conversation and hearing everything. The driving task has three main components: the vehicle, the driver, and the roadway. We control one of those. We control the right of way. We don't control what drivers do behind their cars. We don't control how they maintain their vehicles. As traffic engineers, we try to make sure that the geometry is there so drivers can make good decisions. They have adequate lines of sight, the speed limits are set properly, the roadways are designed properly. When we're dealing with public right-of-way, there's a lot of things inside those right-of-way lines. There's roadways for moving vehicles. Sometimes we have bike lanes, we have sidewalks, we have utilities, underground utilities, overhead utilities, lights, street lights. We have landscaping. Now, the question is, what is more important? There's only so much space. We have to decide what to do with that space. Do we want it for school traffic that lasts for 20 minutes in the morning? Do we want it at the signal for the traffic that's bad during the peak hours of the day? Do we want that space to be used for landscaping? Do we want it to be used for drainage? We have to make those choices. I enjoyed the conversation because we were hitting on all those things, but when it comes down to making a decision of what that space is going to be used for, we have to ask ourselves, what's the problem? What is the root cause of the problem? Are we having crashes out there? We have some. In Lannan Middle School, we're lucky that we don't have very many. Are the speeds very high? At least in Lannan Middle School, where we took the speed study, we don't really have a speeding problem. So we're fortunate in that respect. So as traffic engineers, we try to measure the problem, whatever it is, and base that on some data. And I know we all have our own feelings about how bad it is. And I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm just saying we need to measure the magnitude of those problems okay. So we can make better judgments.
Well, I'm going to adjourn this meeting here in just a second, if that's okay with our friends. But if Council Member Cumber and School Board Member Pearson will allow me to, and everybody else here, put on my thinking cap about how to take a good large view of this and then come back and communicate an idea. If y'all will indulge me that opportunity, we're going to solve the problem the best we can. We ain't ever going to do away with Marco and Below. Trust me. I lived on Below. And we literally moved off Below when Matthew, became 1 year old. We moved because we were concerned. That is literally a racetrack, even 27 years ago. If everybody's okay with that, then I'll communicate back when we're going to meet, and then we're going to solve this problem the best we can and be done with it. Does that sound good?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you to the Sheffields and to our other guests who have come here today. I appreciate it. Meeting adjourned, and see you next time.
It's
three or four blocks. He's heard it from me.